The following is a home program given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 16th, 2010, in Pretoria, South Africa.
So, questions and answers in Pretoria. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, I am very fortunate to be able to take your darshan. For me, it feels as if I am in Krishna's presence. Your servant. What was Prabhupada's favorite food? Actually, Prabhupada's favorite food is your devotion. Prabhupada relished different things in different situations. So, the favorite food of Srila Prabhupada is your love. That's the most important thing. How do we positively associate with devotees without causing offenses, knowingly or unknowingly? The simple formula is this. If I think, well, I have to be very careful not to be offensive to the devotees. That's good, but that's not really enough because that's a negative instruction. What am I supposed to do then? You see? Whatever you do, Prabhu, don't offend the devotee. Well, maybe I better hide in the closet. No. See, you have to know what you should do with the devotees. If you're behaving properly with the devotees, then there's no question of offense. So how do you... What is the... You say, well, what a proper behavior? Well, behavior is a reflection of attitude. If your attitude is correct, your behavior will automatically be correct. Therefore, what is the proper attitude? So, if I have the proper attitude towards devotees, then I will behave with them properly. So, the key is I have to have the proper attitude towards devotees. So, what is the proper attitude towards devotees? Proper attitude towards devotees, that is described in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parato, na me bhaktashti te janaha, mad bhaktananche ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. That is described by Krishna to Arjuna. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. Ye me bhakta jana parato, no me bhaktas tate jana. Someone may say, what is this? Krishna is saying, my devotee is not my devotee? What is Krishna saying? What is the point? Then Krishna clarifies, he says, the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, if we want to have the proper attitude towards the devotees, we have to be a devotee of the devotees. Just as we are devoted to Krishna, we have to be devoted to the devotees of Krishna. Prabhupada explains that everyone has a combination of good and bad qualities. So he says the Vaishnava, he is like a honeybee. The fly He is always looking. Where is the fault? Where is the sewer? Where is the sewer? Where is the sewer? Where is the stool? You see, that is the fly mentality. But the devotee, he is not fly mentality. Devotee, he is like the honeybee. He is looking, where is the honey? Where is the honey? Where is the honey? He wants to extract the nectar from every single devotee. He wants to appreciate, oh, this devotee has that wonderful quality. That devotee has this wonderful quality. In this way, he loves to remember all the different devotees, their wonderful qualities. There are actually many fringe benefits to this mood of worshipping the devotees. Many, many fringe benefits. I will give you an example. Let's say there's some devotee, he plays very good madanga. Very, very good madanga, you see. So instead of appreciating him, I become envious, you see. Yeah, he must be really puffed up. You see, must be really proud of his madanga playing. So if I find fault with his expert madanga playing, will I become an expert madanga player? No, Krishna won't let me because I'm envious, you see. He won't let me. He won't allow me to become a good madanga player. But if I'm thinking, oh, he plays so much madanga, so nice madanga he's playing, how much love he has for Krishna. He's expressing that love so wonderfully through his madanga playing. Well, guess what? Krishna will bless me, you see, that I can also play a decent madanga, you see. So this is the key. If you find fault with the devotees, you're doing nothing but checking your own progress. Nothing but checking your own problem. You're just putting stumbling blocks in your pathway. Like putting landmines on your pathway back to Godhead. But if you're always appreciating, oh, this devotee has that wonderful quality, that devotee. That doesn't mean you have to be naive and think everyone's everything everybody does is perfect, that everyone's a paramahamsa and you should just imitate whatever everybody's doing. It doesn't mean like that. You may see that this devotee has this sort of weakness and that weakness, but that is less important, less significant for you than seeing the beauty and the wonderful qualities, you see. Just like I may have some godbrother that we sometimes had some argument and it never was really resolved, but so I could just think badly about that godbrother, you see. But I don't think like that. I think, how would Prabhupada see this Vaishnava? What is Prabhupada's vision of this godbrother? You see, how many years of dedicated service he's put in for Prabhupada's movement, you see. Even I had some disagreement, it's not a very important thing. You see. The most important thing is how sincerely he is, how hard he has worked, how sincerely he has worked for so many years of loving service for Srila Prabhupada, you see. So in this way, you see, in this way we can cultivate the proper attitude toward devotees. And have the proper behavior with devotees. And there'll be no question of offense. There'll be no room for offenses. If my heart is filled with love for the devotees, I cannot be offensive. Because everything will be love. An expression of my... Everything I say and do in relation with them will be a natural manifestation of the love I have for them within my heart, you see. So this is the real key, just cultivate that mood of appreciation for the devotees. And then there will be no question of offense. And if by chance I slip up, my old bad habits come that I'm trying to check, they come out sometimes and I am rude or offensive to a devotee, then I should beg forgiveness. I should beg forgiveness. So now we'll have some kirtan. Bring me the harmonium. This is a lap harmonium, I think, not a table harmonium. This is a lap harmonium, isn't it? Let's see. I think this is a street harmonium. I may have to muffle it with my chatter. Let's see. Yeah, this is not designed for table. This is designed for dancing. An Indra special, I think. Indra design? Yeah.
It was his own harmonium.
Huh?
It was his personal harmonium.
Oh, this is... Hare Krishna. Indra is one of those devotees I worship. Yeah. Even when I'm leading kirtan, I just pray, Indra, please bless me. This I can do a good one. Yeah, I often meditate on him when I do the kirtan. Just that I have those images of Indra Prabhu sitting there in the Krishna Balaram temple. Oh, with so much feeling and so much joy and enthusiasm. It's such a wonderful expression. Oh, it's so sweet. You know, it just melts your heart when you think about Indra's kirtans. Jaya Rama Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Rama Madhava Kunja Bihari Kopi jana vallabha Giribhara jali Kopi jana vallabha Giribhara jali Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamutira Ranachari Jamunatira Lanachari Jaya Rama Madhava Kunjabi Nani Jaya Rama Madhava Kunjabi Hari Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Hare, Gora Premanandi, Yayam Vishnipad Paramahamsa Paribhajakacharnisham, Akhtarada Shishayman, the Divine Grace, Ilesi Bhakti Vedanta, Dinandi Go, Shami Maharaj, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Niskan, Founder of Acharya, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Patita Pavan and Savior the Fallen Soul, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharja Astadarishi Sriman is the Vangesh Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Gopara Ki Jai. Ananta Kori Vaishnava Vinda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridashtakur Ki Jai. Param Sukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mayapur Dham ki jai, Navareep Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tirsi Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanandam. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschanda Deshatarine. Bring the Bhagavad Gita. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter number 7, Knowledge of the Absolute. Text number 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tribhir Gunamayar Bhavair Ebi Sarvam Idam Jagat Mohitang Nabijanati Mamivya Paramavyayam. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, whom above the modes and inexhaustible. Purport. The whole world is enchanted by three modes of material nature. Those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand that transcendental to this material nature is the Supreme Lord Krishna. Every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. There are four classes of men functioning in the three material modes of nature. Those who are purely in the mode of goodness are called brahmanas. Those who are purely in the mode of passion are called kshatriyas. Those who are in the modes of both passion and ignorance are called vaishyas. Those who are completely in ignorance are called shudras. And those who are less than that are animals or animal life. However, these designations are not permanent. I may either be a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or whatever. In any case, this life is temporary. But although life is temporary, and we do not know what we are going to be in the next life, by the spell of this illusory energy, we consider ourselves in terms of this bodily conception of life, and we thus think that we are American, Indian, Russian, or Brahmin, Hindu, Muslim, etc. And if we become entangled with the modes of material nature, then we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is behind all these modes. So Lord Krishna says that the living entities deluded by these three modes of nature do not understand that behind the material background is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many different kinds of living entities, human beings, demigods, animals, etc. And each and every one of them is under the influence of material nature. And all of them have forgotten the transcendent personality of Godhead. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, and even those who are in the mode of goodness, cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They are bewildered before the Supreme Lord and His personal feature, which possesses all beauty, opulence, knowledge, strength, fame, and renunciation. When even those who are in goodness cannot understand, what hope is there for those in passion and ignorance? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these three modes of material nature. And those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Radha Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raghunatan Vitantam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha It's pointed out by Srila Prabhupada that if we become entangled with the modes of material nature, we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what does that say? That means our natural position is to remember Krishna. It's not that we, in the past, we were not Krishna conscious. And now we're coming to something new we've never had before. Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivera Svarupa Hai Krishnera Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So, all we have to do then to get back to our original natural consciousness is to become free from the influence of these three modes of material nature. So, how do you shake them off? How do you get rid of those rascal modes? You just say, just kind of shake them, get out of here. No. No. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shidehina rashavarsham rishopyashva parang vishvanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So all we have to do then to get back to our original pure state beyond the modes of nature is to associate with Krishna. Sangat sanjayate kama. One's consciousness is developed by his association. In other words, the present moment, we are simply suffering from amnesia, forgetfulness of our actual identities as Krishna's eternal servants. For a person who is suffering from amnesia, they are brought back into contact with those persons, those places, those things which are in connection with their actual identity. In this way, by associating with those things, people, and places, their remembrance of who they actually are becomes revived. This happened actually in Dallas. There was one gentleman walking, took a little walk one afternoon, just like you have a neighborhood here. So he went on a walk around his neighborhood one day, and something strange happened inside his brain. He forgot who he was. He forgot where he lived. He wandered the streets of Dallas for weeks. His family didn't know what had happened to him. He didn't know who he was. He even invented some name for himself just to get by. He was living as a beggar on the streets of Dallas. Until one day, some friend happened to spot him. "Joe, what's happening? We've been looking for you. Come, get in the car. I'm taking you home." You see. So, they took him home and they, through a proper process under a psychologist, he was reassociated with all of the objects, persons, places that were in connection with his actual identity. And in this way, it all gradually came back to him, who he actually was, you see. He got over that state of amnesia. So, in a similar way, now we are suffering from amnesia. We forgot who we are. We are thinking, "I am Mr. Such and Such, I am Mrs. Such and Such, here in South Africa, or wherever it may be. I am male, I am female, I am this, I am that." By the grace of the bona fide spiritual master, His Divine Grace, the greatest spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, we have gotten this seed of remembrance as to who we actually are. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering all over the Brahmanda in complete forgetfulness for millions and millions, for eons of lifetimes, in complete forgetfulness of who he actually is, a living entity, a jiva, who is most fortunate, Konya Bhagavan Jeev, a jiva who is most fortunate, by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, he gets that seed of bhakti, that seed of remembrance of who I actually am. He gets that seed planted in his heart. Now, for those of you who do gardening work, you know that simply putting a seed in the ground, that is not enough. You have to water it also. If you get a seed and you don't water it, it will die. If you let the weeds come and take over your garden, your creeper will be destroyed by the power of the weeds. Weeds are very greedy for resources. So if one lets the weeds into one's heart, illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, if one lets these weeds into the heart, you see,
that creeper will not grow. So we have to water that little seed, the creeper seed, bhakti creeper seed. We have to water that by regularly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, and keeping the weeds out of that garden of the heart. And there's another danger, and that is the Hati Mata, the mad elephants. If some mad elephant comes charging through your neighborhood and he just happens to come into your yard and he just happens to come into your garden with those big, huge feet, with all that weight, one step, boom, your creeper is finished. You see. Therefore, one has to be very careful. That is called Hati Mata, the mad elephant offense, and that is Vaishnava Aparad. As I was explaining, the way to avoid Vaishnava is always appreciate the devotees. Somehow find a way to appreciate every single devotee. Every devotee. We must find a way to appreciate every devotee. Every devotee, big or small, it doesn't matter. We must learn how to appreciate every single devotee. Find something to appreciate about every devotee that we come in contact with. This will protect us. This proper attitude towards devotees will be a very strong fence around the garden of the heart, which will keep that mad elephant from coming in and destroying our devotional creeper. So in this way, being most fortunate, Prabhupada has brought this seed that he received from his spiritual master. And now the followers of Prabhupada, they are distributing that seed. All over the world they have taken that seed of bhakti. It has come now to South Africa, everywhere. This ISKCON is a seed distribution outlet. Bhakti Lata seed distribution outlet. Distributing these bhakti seeds in every town and village, through the books, through the Harinam, through the Rathiyatra, in so many ways, through personal cultivation, home programs, so many ways, cultural programs, TV shows, radio programs, college lectures, so many ways. Flooding, flooding, flooding. Books, 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 books. Flooding, flooding, flooding. This planet with the seeds of bhakti. And those persons who are fortunate, they will realize that I have gotten some special thing here. Let me cultivate this now. I have received a very special gift. Let me cultivate this. If one can realize the great blessing I have received to have gotten this opportunity to awaken my original consciousness, that consciousness which has been sitting within my heart for millions and billions of lifetimes, just waiting to be awakened. Prabhupada actually explains in one lecture, it's not that you get a new body by this process of Krishna consciousness. No, you get back your old original body. So actually we have our old original body, our spiritual body. It's in a dormant state right now. That's all. Simply by this process of chanting Hare Krishna, serving Guru, serving Vaishnavas, you see. Reading scripture, following scripture. This wonderful, wonderful process. Then that wonderful, wonderful dawn within the heart will come. Krishna consciousness is like that. It's like a sunrise. It's not that it's pitch black and boom, you know, it's high noon within a second. Of course, it could happen sometimes. Maharaj Katvanga, he got pure devotional service within 1 minute. But for most of us, it's a slow, gradual process. You see, we have to remain in the process, patiently waiting that day. Gradually, 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 that pure Krishna bhakti comes. It's like that sun. If you sit there staring at the eastern horizon, in that early morning, that early spring morning, and you'll be blessed with a beautiful, beautiful sunrise coming up over the mountains. But you have to be patient. So if we will simply patiently continue chanting Hare Krishna, following the rules and regulations, serving our spiritual masters with faith and love, doing our duties given by our authorities, you see. If we will faithfully execute our service in this way, then that wonderful awakening, that wonderful, beautiful, beautiful dawning of Krishna consciousness will happen within the heart. Premanjana charita bhakti valochane na santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That will come. It will come. We must have faith and stick with this process, and then it will definitely come. We simply have to apply this wonderful, wonderful ointment. In Sanskrit, it is called anjana. And in English also, there is a word ungament. It is not a very common word. It's a synonym of ointment, ungament. You can look it up in the unabridged dictionary, ungament. So this word ungament, it is the etymological derivation of the Sanskrit word anjana. So you have to apply that anjana, that ungament, that ointment of love of God, you see. You must anoint your eyes with this ointment of love of God. And then gradually you will recover from the blindness of material existence and you will see Krishna face to face. So how to apply that ointment? This is a very special eye ointment. Normally you put some ointment in the corner of your eye, you know, you blink your eyes and you get the ointment spread on your eyes in that way. But this eye ointment, it is quite different. This is an unusual eye ointment. You put it in your ears. And then from your ears, if you let it travel to your heart, then your eyes become purified. You see. So drink deeply this Krishna Katha, the Hari Kirtan. Drink deep, deep, deep within your heart this Hari Kirtan. This is the secret of success in bhakti. Machchita madgita prana bodhiyantak parashparam katayantashchamam nityam chasyanticha ramanticha. The thoughts of my devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. This is the secret. Keep yourself always engaged in Krishna Katha, hearing and chanting about Krishna. When you wake up in the morning, Hare Krishna. When you brush your teeth, Hare Krishna. When you shave your face, Hare Krishna. You see? When you take your breakfast, Hare Krishna. When you go to work, Hare Krishna. At every moment, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Either chanting about the Lord, remembering about the Lord, offering your activity in the service of the Lord, yat kadoshi, yat ashnashi, yat jahosi, dadasi, yat tapashashi konteya, tat kurushva, madarpanam. Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, text number 27. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform. Isn't going to work an austerity on Monday morning? You see? What an austerity, oh my God. So offer that to Krishna. By taking that hard-earned money and spending every, I don't know, in America we call it a penny. I don't know, you call them pennies? The pieces of the rand? Huh?
Every cent.
Cent.
Spend every cent of those rands in a way that pleases Krishna.
as much as possible, help the preachers, help the temples. And whatever you spend on yourself, spend it Krishna consciously, you see. Whatever you spend on your family, on your home, on your maintenance, do all of it. Make your home an ashram, a place of Krishna consciousness. It's like when you go to the temple, you get inspired. Make your home a place of inspiration, an ashram. That's why it is called Grihastha Ashram, you see. If your home is not an ashram, well, you're not a Grihastha, Prabhu, you're a Grihamedi. So make your home into an ashram, you see. And if you're living in the ashram, make sure it's an ashram. If you're living in the ashram in the temple, make sure it's ashram. A place of spiritual cultivation. Keep that ashram atmosphere always there, you see. By always hearing and chanting about Krishna. Very eager to read Prabhupada's books, discuss Prabhupada's books. Go out and chant Harinam, distribute books, worship the deities, cook, clean, do everything first class for Prabhupada, you see. We should always think, if Prabhupada were to come today, would he be pleased with the temple? Is it clean? Is it neat? Is it organized? Is Krishna consciousness going on nicely? If Prabhupada were coming today to this temple, how would we fix it up so it's presentable for Srila Prabhupada, you see? If we always have this mood of greeting Srila Prabhupada, then we will always feel how Prabhupada is present with us, you see. That's the secret. Always make yourself and your surroundings presentable to Srila Prabhupada. And you'll always feel how Prabhupada is present with you, blessing you, guiding you. Such a great, powerful acharya. The world has not seen such an acharya, a power like that. So many great acharyas are there in Vaishnava history. You see? Svayambhur nadada shambhu kumara kapilo madhu pralado janako bhishmo balirvaya sakirviyam. So many great acharyas. Where is that acharya who did what this great acharya did? Our beloved founder acharya, His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa, Pari Vajakacharya, Asta Tarasada Shri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta, Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Where is there an acharya who has done what Prabhupada has done? Prabhupada is unique in the history. And we are the fortunate soul that somehow became attracted to take shelter of His movement. Take shelter of the lotus feet. This kind is Prabhupada's lotus feet. You see, how blessed we are, how fortunate we are to take shelter of the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada in the form of His movement. So if we take it very seriously, this greatest of all blessings to have the association of such the greatest saintly teacher in the history. If we take full advantage of this unparalleled mercy, then our lives will be successful. And if we share that mercy with the suffering souls of this planet, this whole world will be transformed. Sometimes people say, well, that's not possible, Prabhu. I mean, come on. Why don't you come down to earth and be reasonable, Prabhu? There's no way that the whole world could take Krishna consciousness. But come on, that's stated right there in the Shastra, right there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sat jana durjana pangu jada anagana prema vanyaya du baila jagatera jana. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj. Is he a conditioned soul of this world simply speculating, trying to fire everybody up to go out in Sankirtan? Of course, he is doing that, no doubt. But it's not hype. That's my point. It's not hype. It's not hype. Great acharyas like Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they are Trikalagya. They are the perfect knowers of past, present, and future. And he is clearly stating there that this Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami. It is a tidal wave of Krishna prema. And it will inundate the entire world, the entire universe, drowning everyone. It doesn't matter if they're lame, they're invalid, they're blind, sajjana, they're pious, durjana, they're impious. It doesn't matter. Every single person, every single living entity will become inundated in this tidal wave of Krishna prema. So, why hasn't it happened yet? One could have. I mean, the movement's been going on since the 60s. Why is it? The whole world hasn't taken yet? Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute. What will you do with it? So Krishna can make the whole world Krishna conscious. But are we qualified to lead it? That we have to see. Am I a Godas or am I a Goswami? Is it? We have to analyze, honestly, look in our own hearts and see our own weaknesses, our own defects. See why Krishna hasn't given us greater success. Well, are we actually qualified for greater success? Even in our society, we saw devotees who had huge success. So many devotees made, so many books distributed, now they're finished. They've given it up. You see. Even they had so much success in their preaching, there was something in there, in their heart, that Krishna took it all away from them. You see. So we have to be very careful that our hearts are pure. Very, very careful. That I have no desire for wealth. I have no desire for women. I have no desire for followers. I simply want devotional service, birth after birth. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to us, what our mood should be. If we have this mood of pure bhakti, then Krishna can give us the whole world. He can give us the whole world to lead them how to become happy in Krishna consciousness. So the first step in revolutionizing the planet is to revolutionize our hearts very diligently. We must work to clean that dirt out of the heart, chanting very sincerely the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, following very strictly the regulative principles, being very respectful to Vaishnavas, serving the order of my spiritual master, my spiritual authorities, cultivating wonderful loving relationships with the devotees in this way. Cultivate pure bhakti mood, going to the holy dham whenever I can to get surcharged, you see. Anande bolo hari vaja vrindavan Sri go, what is it? Ananda Balahari Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Narottam Das has given wonderful instruction that we should ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, should always worship the holy Vrindavan Dham, and we should always within our hearts worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Every Vaishnava is worshipable, not only my spiritual master. Every Vaishnava is worshipable. So in this way, if we cultivate very nicely this mood of pure bhakti within the heart, then we will see all kinds of miracles within and without. Bahir nasinga, hridaye nasinga. Srila Prabhupada has so nicely translated this simple four words from our Nrisimha prayers, which literally mean Nrisimha without and Nrisimha within. But Prabhupada has expanded the inner meaning of this. This is in the fifth canto purport. May Lord Nrisimhadev dwell within my heart, destroying all of my inauspicious qualities, so that my heart may become clean and I can peacefully worship the Lord, and I can then bring peace to the entire world.
So this is the mood of the pure devotees. They want to be completely pure within, and they want to purify the atmosphere of this planet so that everyone can become happy. They cannot tolerate to see the people suffering like anything, caught up in so many sinful activities. It greatly pains the pure devotees. They can't tolerate it. Therefore, they dedicate their whole lives to saving the people from their suffering condition. So there were some questions. If there's any more questions, you can write them down and hand them forward. What do we do when we hear things we don't want to hear about devotees or some politics? Well, our wonderful Ratha Yatra Acharya, Jayananda Prabhu, Jayananda Thakur, he would simply walk away if he heard bad devotees being bad-mouthed. He would simply walk away. Or if you glorified him, he would also walk away. You see. That's one way. Please comment about pride and arrogance in devotional service. Well, the key is don't take the credit. If you take credit for your service, you may not be doing service that much longer. Prabhupada didn't take credit. He said, whatever the amazing things have been accomplished, it is not my doing. It is simply the mercy of my spiritual master. But if I have any, he always said, but if I have any credit, it is that I always remain faithful to serve my spiritual master's instructions. That is the pride and joy of the disciple. The order of my spiritual master. That is his pride and joy. He takes no credit. He thinks only by Guru Maharaj's mercy can I follow Guru Maharaj's instruction. Not that I'm a great disciple, no. I'm a basket case. But Guru Maharaj is very kindly to accept such a basket case as me, as his disciple, and to bless me that somehow I'm able to follow his instructions. So in this way, we can become humble in our service. Sometimes we notice there seems to be some competitive spirits between devotees or some political agendas. So surely this cannot be a good situation since we are all serving Srila Prabhupada. Of course, there is a natural competitive spirit. And Prabhupada encouraged it, but we have to learn how to do that transcendentally, that's all. I know in my own experience with Prabhupada, I was at a little isolated preaching center in Austin, Texas, and Prabhupada didn't come there, although he'd actually offered to come one time. My temple president, I couldn't believe it, he didn't want Prabhupada to come. He was afraid we'd make some offense. Prabhupada actually wrote me a letter saying he would come to our temple, and I told the temple president, he said no. Anyway, it's another story. But, so we would hear all these stories, you know, somebody was with Prabhupada in L.A. on the beach, or somebody was in New York in his room, and this and that. Always hearing about devotees. And here I was in some isolated little temple, and we'd go to, there'd be a big festival, and I'd be one of the rank and file, you know, with 300 devotees sitting there seeing Prabhupada. Of course, I would get close to the Vyasasana as I could. I would sit right by the Vyasasana. But still, you know, I was hankering to have more intimate, you know, be there in the room and talking with Prabhupada. And, I mean, it was killing me. I was so envious of those God brothers that you know, were talking with Prabhupada, you know, all that intimate stuff, you know, that I was missing out on. The envy was driving me crazy. And I said, this isn't good. It's not good. I should be so envious of my God brothers. So I better ask Prabhupada to help me. I wrote Prabhupada a letter and said, Prabhupada, I have this big problem. I'm envious of my God brothers because they're getting all this intimate association with you and I'm not. How can I get over this envy, Prabhupada?
And I was so surprised. He didn't tell me to get rid of the envy. That really surprised me. He said, transcendental envy means when you see that another devotee is being recognized by Krishna more than you are, you should try harder so that Krishna recognize you also. So Prabhupada was not telling me to give up that competitive feeling. He said, all right, competitive, it's all right. You see others are defeating you. They're getting some special mercy and recognition that you're not getting. All right, now you try harder so you can also get the recognition. But still, I had the problem. There was a big, huge gathering of devotees there in Atlanta in 1975. It was a big thing. Devotees, Prabhupada had come through South America. He'd come up through Caracas. Then he'd come up to Miami. And now he was in Atlanta. And devotees came from all over America. There was must have been about 300 devotees there. And it was a big thing. I mean, it was really a big mela going on. And Prabhupada did things that he didn't normally do. He was teaching song class. He was teaching song class on this very nice song. What is that song? Padama karuna bhundvijana nitai goro chandra. He taught us how to sing that bhajan. It was so wonderful. So anyway, I had this problem with the envy. So envious of those devotees who got to be close to Prabhupada, like his personal servant, Shruti Kirti Prabhu. So anyway, there we were in the temple room. Prabhupada's on the Vyasasana. I'm standing on Prabhupada's right side, right up by the Vyasasana. On the other side of the Vyasasana, there's Shruti Kirti Prabhu, the object of my envy, right? So I'm looking at right across Prabhupada's lap at Shruti Kirti Prabhu. You know, this envy's in my heart. I'm looking over at him, and I was really surprised. Shruti Kirti gave me the most he looked right across Prabhupada's lap, straight at me, with the most wonderful, loving smile I could ever imagine. It was like Shruti Kirti was like a mirror, and all this mercy was bouncing off. Prabhupada's mercy was hitting Shruti Kirti and bouncing over to me. It was like that. It was such an amazing experience. He was getting all this mercy by being Prabhupada's personal servant. And he wasn't hoarding it, thinking, yeah, I'm great, I'm Prabhupada's servant. He wasn't thinking that way. And if you know the story of how he got that position, then you would never think that way about him. That's a whole other story, how he got that position of being Prabhupada's servant. I'm also digress a little bit and tell that one too. It was a big festival. This was 1972. There was no Mayapur or Vrindavan in those days. It was all in the U.S., mostly. Maybe a little bit in Europe, starting up. You know. But the big thing was New Vrindavan. There was a big festival in New Vrindavan. Everybody came from all, even from Europe they came. It was a big, big festival. There was no facilities. We were camping out in tents on the side of the mountain. And they built this big pavilion on the top of the mountain. Pavilion means a roof with no walls. It was a tin shed. But it was nice because it was beautiful. The sun was a little hot, but there was wonderful cool breezes, you know, coming through them. It was so heavenly, you couldn't believe it. So for a whole week, Prabhupada, they either carry him in a palanquin or drive him up the mountain in a car. And he would sit up there on the top of the mountain and give a discourse on the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was called the Bhagavad Dharma Discourses. And the media was invited, Newsweek came, New York Times came. It was big. It was a big thing. And for a whole week, we're just up there drinking in the nectar, hearing Prabhupada giving lectures. You know, we had the Vyas Puja up there for Prabhupada. Oh, I mean, it was so nectarian, you couldn't believe it. But there was one devotee down at the bottom of the hill who was cooking for all of us, who couldn't attend the festival. That was Shruti Kirti Prabhu. We could say that poor soul was down. Of course, he was very fortunate, we'll find out. But he was down there doing the austerity of missing that whole festival just to cook for us devotees. He was in charge of cooking for all of our 300 devotees, you see. Doing the austerity of cooking for all of us.
And at the end of the festival, it was announced, now Shruti Kirti Prabhu will be Prabhupada's personal servant. So to hear that, you could never be envious of him being in that position, you see. Because you could see how much he deserved it, actually, by selfless, dedicated service for the devotees. When we were all getting the nectar, he was feeding us and missing the festival on the top of the hill in a hot kitchen, you see. So, it was a very poignant experience for me to see that wonderful smiling face of Shruti Kirti Prabhu. Just, it really melted my heart. He gave me so much love, I couldn't believe it. It's like melted my heart the way he smiled at me, so sweetly, so wonderfully. And I knew it was coming right from Prabhupada through him, you see. So, that helped me a lot to get over my envy. I realized that there's no reason to be envious of a devotee. If he has a position, he deserved it. That's all. So if you want some nice facility for your preaching or your service, well, just qualify yourself. You see? Just qualify yourself by sincere service, like Shruti Kirti down there in the kitchen. Just qualify yourself. You shouldn't be envious of some devotee who has a position, you see. He got that position by the Lord's arrangement for a purpose. Now you qualify yourself. If you have a desire to serve in a certain way, you qualify yourself also. So in this way, let's see. Am I looking at the right sheet? Let's see. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm in. So if a devotee does have a political agenda for profit, adoration, and distinction, well, pray for him. That's all I can say. Because if somebody has a motive for their devotional service, they may satisfy that motive, but they won't get Krishna. So pray for them. They need it. And the way to help such a devotee is you be an example of someone who is unmotivated. If you see that some devotees are motivated, now you be unmotivated. And by your not being motivated, your example will be a very good lesson for them. That one doesn't need to have some political agenda to be enlivened in their service. One can simply be mad after pure bhakti and derive unlimited nectar. So you set that example. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tattareva itaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anuvartate. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets, by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So that's the... If there's some political agenda there, will you be non-political and inspire them by your example? What are the qualities of a saintly person? The saintly person means he is kind. He is always thinking of the welfare of others. That is a saintly person. That is the true saintly person. He's always thinking how everyone else can become happy. I remember a nice example in this connection. Many years ago, our GBC in our Dallas temple was His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, a great, great leader of our movement. And I remember we had a devotee, it was a sannyasi devotee. He's no longer a sannyasi, but we had a sannyasi devotee who was in charge of our temple. In those days, no one lived outside of the temple. Everyone lived in the temple community. Everybody was under one budget. So being a temple president in those days meant you're in charge of the sankirtan, you're in charge of the vajari and the diapers for the babies. I mean, everything's under you. So to our temple president there, sannyasi, he had a huge burden. Even the baby's diapers were coming out of under his management, you understand? So it was a big, big anxiety, you see, dealing with all this stuff. And I never forget that lecture one morning in the temple room. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said,
Because he is accepting all of your problems, he has no problem. I thought that was a very, very poignant point of Goswami Maharaj, Tamakrishna Maharaj. Because this devotee, he is taking the burden of all of your problems upon himself. Personally, he has no problems. So this is a saintly person, you see. He's always thinking of the welfare of everyone else. Everybody else's problems, he takes them as his personal problems. Therefore, personally, he has no problem. Because his heart is pure. The Vedas were transcribed into paper 5,000 years ago. Well, it may not have been paper, some scrolls, a precursor of paper, perhaps. I don't know if they used leather. I don't know what they used. Maybe it was paper, some kind of special leaves. Yeah. It wasn't paper like we get out of the paper mill now. It was some, you know, more natural, organic stuff. When the Acharyas reference the Vedas, do they reference this original transcript? Well, the thing is, the transcripts have been retranscribed over the course of time to preserve them. That's what's happened. I have not heard that the original scroll that Ganesh wrote on is still available. Perhaps it is. I just haven't heard about it. I doubt it. But there was a copy made of a copy of a copy. And this way it's gone through the ages. And it is confirmed by great enlightened personalities who have access by dint of their realization to actually know the authenticity of the scripture. People like Srila Prabhupada, they have the power to know the authenticity just by their realization. It's not that we're totally dependent just on some paper copy somewhere of a document. It is also confirmed by great sadhus and by great acharyas, great pure devotees, the authenticity of a particular scripture. How does one know whether he's making sincere progress in Krishna consciousness? Does one experience feelings of happiness? How would one know if this is genuine and not prideful? If it lasts only a short time, it is not genuine. But if it lasts for years and years and years, if it lasts throughout your entire life, then you know it's genuine. How can I say that? It is described in the Bhagavad Gita that happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. So sometimes in the beginning, our happiness may be somewhat, in practicing Krishna consciousness, may be somewhat rajasic. If a devotee is all fired up one day and depressed the next day, then that enthusiasm was not purely sattvic enthusiasm. It was some rajas mixed in, you see. So the key is to try to be very sattvic. That is called brahman, you see. Cultivate brahminical quality. Shambhadamashtaparshocham chantirarjam evacha. Jnanam vijnanamastakam brahma karmas bhavavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance. You see, arjavam evacha, jnanam, knowledge, vijnanam, wisdom, astakam, full faith in the scriptures, religiousness, you see. Cultivate these qualities of a brahman. Consciously try to cultivate them. And that will enable you to maintain your enthusiasm in all circumstances. In other words, the devotee finds his pleasure within. Bhayasvarsheshvasaktatma vindachatmaniyat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated soul is not attracted to material sense pleasure because he's always relishing the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness. Why? Because he concentrates on the Supreme. So if you make your happiness on your Krishna, your relation with Krishna, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna,
and not on being recognized in the temple, or I just got a beautiful new wife, or you know, something like that. If you make your happiness on your relationship with Krishna, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, this is the most wonderful thing I have found out, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And all I have to do to be unlimitedly happy is to be fully absorbed in His service, 24 hours a day, with my every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, you see. If you can fix yourself in this consciousness, then there'll be no reverse condition for you. Kunti Devi is the ideal acharya in this way. For her, there was no such thing as a reverse situation. After she came out of the forest, those so many hellish years in the living in the forest, she's back in the palace, and now she's praying to Krishna. Vipadar shantitashvatat tatra tatra jagadgaro bhavanam darshanam yashad apunarbhava darshanam. Please, Krishna, give me more and more calamities. Give me more and more reverse situations. Because when there is calamity, then I can do nothing but take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, I can see within my heart, and then I will no longer see, I know that I will not see birth and death by seeing you. So a devotee, one who is actually understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he never becomes discouraged or depressed by any situation. It's easy for me to say that, of course. We all know it's difficult to practice that. That's a fact. It's very difficult to practice that. But if we train ourselves, in due course of time, we can master that art of how never be disturbed by any situation. Never by any situation. Because actually the loving hand of Krishna is there at every minute. That's a thing. Every single thing that is happening within this world is happening under the energy of Krishna for the purpose of delivering the fallen conditioned souls back to His eternal kingdom. So Krishna's mercy is active at every minute. We have to have faith in that. And when times get rough, the times when it becomes, it seems to be intolerable, I can't handle this, then we just have to call to Krishna and beg for His mercy. And that will help us to remember. And it just seems we have so many impediments, I just don't know how I can go on. Krishna, help me. You see, that is the mood. We want to be like a child crying for the mother. The child feels it is helpless. I can't handle this. It's more than I can take. My dear mother, he's crying for the mother. I can't handle this. That is actually a very good mood. We feel like a helpless child. I just can't handle this. Krishna, help me, please, Krishna. I can't handle this. You see? Begging for the mercy. That's how we're supposed to chant our rounds, actually. Begging for the mercy. If we can call to the Lord in that helpless mood, like a child crying for the mother, then we'll always feel how I'm protected by my Krishna. He's always protecting me. He's never allowing me to be in danger, you see. Actually, there's a nice verse like that in the Bible, the book of Psalms. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You see. This is devotee. He's not afraid of anything. Abhay Charan. You see, he's fearless because he's taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. He knows that Krishna's loving mercy is always there. I simply have to put myself under His care and I have no problems ever. I'll never have any problems. Okay. Why is it that Krishna, including Lord Chaitanya, always appeared on this earth in India? Hare Krishna. Reminds me of there was a popular movie in America, and the end of the movie, the character said, Dorothy, she said, there's no place like home. So actually, that's true for Krishna also. There's no place like home. Vrindavan is his home. For Krishna, there's no place like Vrindavan. You see? There's nothing that competes with Vrindavan for Krishna. Jamuna is there. Govardhan is there. You see? There's no place like Vrindavan. You can't lure Krishna away. You can't lure Krishna away from Vrindavan. Vrindavanam paritya napara ekam gacchati. Krishna never steps one foot outside of Vrindavan. Sometimes he appears to leave Vrindavan. But that's simply to increase the ras, to increase the loving emotions of the gopis and the gopas, you see, and the cows and the calves and the peacocks and the flute and the bushes and the trees and all the wonderful devotees who participate in Krishna Vrindavan pastimes. He simply appears to leave Vrindavan to increase the fire of bhakti within their hearts, to fan that fire of bhakti within their hearts. So this place, Sri Vrindavan Dham, it is a very, very special place for Krishna. It is so dear to Krishna. Therefore Krishna always, and because Vrindavan happens to be in India, therefore Krishna goes to India. Not that he's after Vrindavan, not India. Of course, India is a word from the Westerners. The word India comes from the Westerners. It's not a Vedic term, India. You see? So Krishna goes, Lord Chaitanya also, he went to Vrindavan in great ecstasy, complete ecstasy. He was wandering in Vrindavan, you see. And Vrindavan, every particle of dust is more valuable than the treasury of Kuvera, than the treasury of the demigods. Just to inhale the air, inhale in Vrindavan, purifies the heart. Just inhaling and purifies you in Vrindavan. Is it? Such a special place. I had to share a little nectar. We just went to Vrindavan. We were so fortunate. I couldn't believe it. Because we read in the Krishna book that where Kaliya was living is a big lake. At that point, Jamuna was a huge lake. So I was just in Vrindavan. It was just after the biggest rainy season in 30 years. And could you believe Jamuna came all the way to Kaliya Ghat? She was right there at Kaliya Ghat. And it was a huge lake. We went up on the Madan Mahan temple, that hill, Dvashaditya Tila. And we were looking out. I took photographs. You couldn't even see the opposite side of Jamuna. It's a huge lake. It was so wonderful then. Our devotees, to take bath in Jamuna, you just, there at our Goshala, you just go over the wall and you take your bath right there in the Jamuna. It was an amazing thing. To see Jamuna had come back, you see. It was so wonderful then. So this Vrindavan is a very, very special place. So I don't blame Krishna for being partial towards India. Actually, it's interesting in this connection. One Indian gentleman, the Prabhupada actually initiated him. He was Dr. Alankar. I forget his initiated name, but he was coming to our temple in Gainesville. And he went for a darshan with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came to Chicago. And he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why did Krishna not appear in Russia? Srila Prabhupada sarcastically replied, because he did not take your consultation. Okay, this is the last one. I think, yeah, it's some. Oh, it was, all right. These two more, and then I'm going to head back. I have some writing, important writing I have to finish tonight. So I'm going to do these two more and then we're going to head up. So Maharaj, I noticed that during kirtan you cry out to Krishna when you chant his names. Is this the mood to chant japa? Well, Prabhupada said like that. He said you should chant like a child crying for the mother. That's Prabhupada's instructions. Problem is, when we're trying to chant his name sincerely, I can't maintain this for long. Well, it's very simple. If you're chanting Hare Krishna and you're begging for the mercy, and all of a sudden now you're just mechanically thinking, when am I going to get this over? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. What to do when that happens? Well, all you got to do is say, Krishna, please bless me. I can chant your name like a child crying for the mother. Every time you slip off, just beg Krishna, Lord, please help me chant your name properly with love. I'm such a rascal. I'm chanting just like a computer, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, please help me to chant with love, you see. Whenever you notice you're getting off, just beg Krishna for the mercy. And if you're constantly getting off, and if you were to pray like that, you wouldn't have time to even chant your rounds. You'd be praying like that all day. Then just chant Hare Krishna in the mood of begging Krishna to help you chant the pure name. Just chant in the mood of Hare Krishna. I'm begging Krishna, please, my dear Lord, bless me. I can chant your name purely. Hare Krishna. In that mood, chant Hare Krishna. You see. And this way, you'll be in good shape. Is it just a matter of time that I realize that I am taking too long to finish my rounds? Do you have any tips to maintain sincere chanting? We can sometimes hear examples of remembering how distressed we are to chant more sincerely. However, we don't remember of our suffering situation all the time. It's actually meditation. Just like somebody sits down to meditate. We're meditating. Prabhupada said this is real transcendental meditation. It's not that you have to do some complicated mental gymnastics to chant japa. No, you lay aside the mental gymnastics. Just make it in a very simple way. Okay, it's time to meditate on the holy name, that's all. Now I'm going to meditate on the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just take it as a simple meditation. Now it's time to lay everything aside. All the mental gymnastics can go jump in the Jamuna for the time being. I'm just going to meditate on the holy name. That's all. Just take it in a simple way. Don't take it in a complicated way. Lay aside the complications. Just absorb yourself in the sound of the name. On the topic of Vaishnava Aparam, normally we say that by performing devotional service, we are free from social obligations. But is it an offense to devotees if they have expectations of us to give them time and attention, care, and we neglect that due to some callousness or limitations of time? Performing devotional service frees one from material obligations, not from spiritual obligations. Devotional service makes me very, very obliged to so many devotees who are facilitating my spiritual life. I'm now obliged to so many devotees. I have to become the servant of the Vaishnavas. I shouldn't think, well, I'm free of all obligations because I surrender to Krishna. Well, wait a minute. What does surrender to Krishna mean? Surrender to Krishna means that you have to surrender to Krishna devotees because they are the representatives of Krishna. Now I have more obligations than I ever had before. Now I'm obliged to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees. I'm obliged to my spiritual master. I'm obliged to my fellow Vaishnavas who are facilitating me. I'm obliged to the leaders of the temple. I'm obliged to the leaders of the movement. I'm obliged to the traveling preachers who come through and enliven me. You see? We have so many obligations. They are giving us their mercy. Now we have to reciprocate. So chanting Hare Krishna does not free you from obligations. It frees you from mundane obligations to the demigods, to the forefathers, etc. But now, all of a sudden, you have a new... Now you're more obligated than ever before to the Vaishnavas, to Guru, to Sadhus. You're more obligated than ever before. And one must not neglect those spiritual obligations. Otherwise, you are... What is that word? Someone who... You're a rascal ingrate. You're not grateful for those devotees who facilitated your spiritual life. You're an ingrate. Don't be an ingrate. Always be grateful to those devotees who facilitating, inspiring you in your Krishna consciousness. It's like I feel a genuine sense of gratitude for Kadamba Kamana Swami, you see. He's such a nice example of Krishna consciousness. Enthusiasm for chanting, dancing, and serving, preaching. So I'm indebted to him. I'm grateful to him. So in this way, we should feel ourselves more and more obligated. You see, in our spiritual life. So I'm going to stop here. I have some obligations tonight. I have to take care of some writing obligations. My daily newsletter has to be published tonight before I take rest. So I got to get back and get that done for my readers tomorrow. Some of you are my... How many of you are my readers on my e-course? Yeah. So I'm obliged to all of you being my subscribers. I have to go back home and get that thing written and loaded tonight for you all. So I'm so happy that you all, you and your wife, received us nicely to your home. And you all received us nicely to the temple. And so I feel very grateful for that. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.